Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
You know, being church, which is what we're talking about today, is inherently messy stuff. And I'm Greg, by the way, Greg Meyer, and wanting to share some thoughts with you here today. But being church is inherently messy. I mean, being church is sort of like being alive. And that when we're alive, there's a lot of big hurts, and there's a lot of enormous joys, and there's that whole span of stuff in between them. And we take all that stuff, and together we find ways to grow. And I think that's what's really key here and what it's about. What I'd like to do as just to get going here is have us do a little bit of an exercise to settle in and to kind of know that we're here and be present. And parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, big brothers, sisters, whoever, if you're with kids, I invite you to include this with them. And you know, if your kids are down here doing chalk, some of them are big enough, I'll get their attention right now. They don't even know I've mentioned them so far. So we'll talk to them. But what I'd like you to do is, first of all, if you have that kid, you can put him on your lap if they're little or beside him. And you kids, all of you guys here with the chalk? Yeah, you guys. All right? Here's what I want you to do, and you can do it with your chalk. You can stay right where you are. All right? And but we're going to do a little exercise. And what I'd like you to do is be comfortable and take your finger and draw a circle going in, a spiral going in towards the middle of your hand. Well, you guys with the chalk, you can just do it with your chalk. Can you draw a great big circle that becomes a spiral and goes closer and closer to the center and do it nice and slowly? If you have a child on your lap or even on yourself, you might want to do it on your chest. And just draw this line. Nice and slow. Take all the stuff that's outside you. When you get to the center, you can draw another. You can draw another one, or you can trace over it again, maybe get a different color if you want. And just keep them going closer and closer. Yeah, well, that's another way of doing it. Just a bunch of circles, each one inside the other. That does it too. What we're doing is taking all this stuff that's outside of us, all these distractions, all these worries, all that stuff that can be overwhelming, and feeling, just feel that inside, that somehow it all comes closer and closer, and all that stuff maybe gets left behind, and it's just you there in the center. You can do that, and one of the things that maybe you can feel, including taking all the wonderful stuff around you, but feeling all that coming and just being within you and a part of you. And when you get to the middle, look at that. You did a really... Yes, you can do it like that. Yes. Everybody afterwards is going to come up and look at all the great ways that you did it. That's great. When you get to the center, you might want to say your name, whisper. If you have a child, maybe say your child's name. Claim that as the place where your wonderful, beautiful self is, and know that. Somehow pull all those distractions, all those things away from yourself, and let your precious, your invaluable, your irreplaceable, your full of gifts, an amazing, and just so worthy of love self be in the middle. You know, that's something you can do at any time. You can keep doing it if you don't need to keep doing it, but it's something you can do at other times when you're someplace and you just feel like you're being pulled out of yourself and those worries, all that's like, you know, intangible, how you put your finger on stuff that wants to distract and just carry you away from yourself. You can just kind of calmly pull yourself back that way and learn that that is this, you got another one going. Keep it going. Do another one. And feel all these things coming back to the center again. And believe it or not, this is kind of what we're talking about when we're saying, you know, being church and being local. And I want to share a few more thoughts about that today. But one of the things that we've learned is that we take the stuff that really matters of life and that we think God really cares about. And, you know, if you're not familiar with Jacob's Well, one of the things that I have to tell you about God is that for us as a community, the only thing that we're 100% sure of is that when we say God, we don't know what we mean. I mean, we really have no idea exactly what all that is that we're talking about. But yet we feel compelled to believe that God matters. And that even though we can't quite understand what it is and what God means for us, nonetheless, we need to have that be part of our vocabulary and part of our experience and find ways of weaving this God factor, this bigger than life factor into our lives as we do that together. And I really believe that God, this is where God meets us, at the center of that spiral, right in the middle where we are. Yes? Okay. Will you go keep showing me some stuff to do? A pool? No, no pool. Just a creek. But I don't advise swimming in that yet. Okay? You've probably heard the line, it's not about you. You know, it's kind of a popular thing to be reminded it's not about you. And in a world like we have today, you know, where there's all this kind of self-centered, narcissistic, selfish world, that's not a bad thing for us to be reminded that it isn't about us. But you know, on another level, which is, I think, profoundly also true, it is, in fact, all about you. Exactly you. Because that is where it all starts. If something isn't in that center place, the middle of that spiral, that place where you reside, if it isn't there, then where is it? I mean, God maybe wants to love the world, but how does God get to love the world except by somehow touching the lives of you and me? I mean, that's what God is really passionate about. God may want to change the world, but how is God going to change the world unless people experience these transformative experiences themselves, where they have a different vision of the world and they want to share that with others? I mean, God may want to be concerned about community and us living together harmoniously, peacefully, and all that kind of stuff. But how is that ever going to happen unless you or each and every one of us as individuals somehow experience this idea that I am accepted and I am loved and I am trusted and I'm realized as a gift to this community in a way that I now want to share that with other people too. And somehow, someplace, it always has to start with us. You know, being a local church really isn't saying anything about where the church meets, you know, or that all the people are from that neighborhood, or the outreach that the church does is all, you know, focus on immediate community needs. I mean, those are good things, and I suppose it's another way of thinking about local church. But for us, local, being local is all about this being church. It's not having a church, it's not going to church, it's actually living it. And it means that the local part means that this is where we connect with God. We connect with God locally. We connect with God in the center of that spiral in our hearts. And churches, I think, a lot of the times forget this. I mean, we make God so big. We make God so otherworldly that we both can't relate and maybe aren't even interested in doing it. And we can do the same thing with the church itself. I mean, churches can be so much about the supposed to's or the supposed not to do's, the rules, the doctrine, the traditions that I'm sure at one time spoke to people's hearts but maybe failed to make it to the center of the spiral for us anymore. And so there's stuff we just do and they actually make the church not local, not near the center of the spiral for us anymore. I suppose there's a reason why, you know, maybe sometimes we do get all hung up on doctrine and things like that. After all, didn't Jesus say, I have come that you may have theology and you may have it abundantly? For those of you not so familiar with the Bible, that isn't what he said. He said, I came that you may have life, that messy, together, imperfect, doesn't always work out right, and that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. That's a little different twist on things. And all of that idea that the church would be that not local, not close to our hearts, not where we are, not where we're living, it just so flies in the face of who Jesus was. I mean, Jesus was God local, God real, here, now, one of us. I mean, he was the local kid. He was the neighborhood guy that people knew. And of all the people, it's kind of funny that the church, over the centuries, if you look at where they keep coming back to, they don't come back to volumes and volumes of literature or theology. They keep coming back to a person. They come back to a man whose life was more a disaster than a success story. I mean, his career only lasted 3 years, and it took him like till his middle ages even started. And the whole thing fell apart because he bothered about the center of the spiral. He cared for individual people and love them and work to touch their lives and to be with them. He didn't come to have a message for humanity, but to touch people's lives, yours, mine, our lives. Or then there's that story that from hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, a story about a prophet, Elijah, that I think was trying to drive home the same point. So Elijah was having a kind of experience that a lot of us have in our lives sometimes, where just everything is going to hell in a handbasket and so fast. He ends up, he's running for his life. He goes up a mountain to hide, figuring maybe God is at the top of mountains. He goes up to this mountain where he thinks maybe he's safe, and then there's a storm, there's an earthquake, there's an enormous fire, and and Elijah's thinking, oh, God is certainly going to be in those, because that's where you'd find an all-powerful God, right? And storms and earthquakes and stuff like that. But he says, no, God wasn't in any of that. And then when this is all done, and it all calms down, and he starts like settling in and having a chance to think, all of a sudden, he hears something that he can't hear. The story says like a sound in silence. He has a sense that only his heart can tell him is really there, that said, no, God is close at hand. God is present now. God is with me. And maybe God always was local, right here, in the who I am. The psalmist, Psalm 34, says, God is near to those who are discouraged. God shows up for the one who is about to give up on hope. I think that's the God that we know, the God that is trying to get our attention. So being locals means being the kind of community where we seek to discover God who is close at hand and who makes a difference. And that happens through people, through real people. And I guess you could say as a community, we are then people who try to be God close at hand for each other. Just real, just making a difference, not fixing or making perfect, but just being there. You know, if you throw a pebble in the water, what happens? Yeah, it sinks. That's not what I was going for. It creates ripples, right? All right. Yeah, you throw a pond in, and so these ripples are going to spread out to the edges of the pond. They're going to, go to faraway places. But why does that happen? Why do those ripples get out to the edge? That happens because the pebble hit a particular spot. It had an impact in one place that then began to spread out. That one place is you. That's your life. That's where it starts. That's the center of the spiral. That's where God is at work and where God wants to meet you. Here's one of the things that we really believe about being church. And it isn't that God loves you. God sees you and is interested in your heart so that you will then go and love other people. No. I think we're totally clear on this. God loves you because God loves you because God loves you. That's it. No other conditions, just plain that. God loves you simply because God loves you, but because God loves you. But God also knows something. God knows when someone is loved that way, they cannot keep it in. You cannot throw a pebble in the stone and the ripples will not go out. God doesn't love you so that you will do that, but God loves you knowing that when you do, you cannot contain that kind of love. And it is going to change the people around you, and it's going to be a part of the change in this world. When pebbles hit the water, they don't make ripples because they're told to. It just happens. And it's the same in our lives as well. And it's some pretty fun stuff to be a part of. Here's another way of seeing it happen. You kids, I'm going to need a bunch of help on this. Can some of you help me? I think actually I need more than what I've got here. So if some other kids want to come up, you have a little job with me. You ready? Oh, it looks like a bunch of helpers. It's got water. You guys are happy already, right? Okay. Justine. Yep. This is a pitcher. Okay. You know that. Yep. It's you. Can you turn around so everybody can see you? And I'm going to go stand kind of by her. All right, you guys go out in front. Go in front of Justine, okay? All right. So this is Justine. And this is Justine. All right? And so her life is there. And her life needs to be filled up, right? Needs to be filled up with love. So you guys are going to fill her up with love, all right? So how does that happen? I mean, that's such a, I'm going to love. How does someone love you? Anybody, kids,
you can help them, you can help.
By being helped, okay. So you want to take, this is representing, this water in there is your helping Justine and loving her that way. Go ahead, pour it in there. You can keep that cup. Hold on to that cup for a minute. Do you have a way? What's that? Filling her maybe with good food. Okay, go ahead. Dip it in there and fill her up. Who else is the one? By being nice, okay. It's a good way. Is there kind of real, well, we're gonna have to give other people a chance for it, okay? Yes? By just caring for her? Yeah? Being kind. All right, go ahead. Pour them in there. Yes, do you have one? Giving, okay. Giving what? Giving presents, that's good. Helping her with whatever she needs helping with, right? Oh, look what's happening. Do you have one? Someone have what? What's another way?
You can, buy something for them or get something for them that they want for their birthday.
Okay, so you're going to share something with her that's really special and important. Yeah, go ahead. Do you have another one? Oh, look what's happening. You can keep the cup for a second.
Whenever they're feeling sad,
yeah.
Whenever they're feeling sad, they come over and connect.
All right, well, just wait before you put that in. All right, so what's going to happen when you pour in the next cup?
Overflow.
It's going to overflow. Go ahead. You want to pour it in there? Go ahead and pour it in. No, you can pour one in a minute.
Oh.
Are you guys going to keep doing stuffer? Go ahead. Let's keep pour it in there.
I'm happy that I wore my water shoes to church today.
Okay. I think Justine's had enough. All right. Thank you, you guys. No, we don't have to do it. Okay, everybody, you can. This has come close enough to going all wrong. All right. Okay, you can put you can just hand me your cups. And another neat thing that's going to be happening today is. Can I have your cup? Thank you. Any more cups? So, kind of thinking about the same thing, Isaiah, thank you, and thank you. Yes, you guys are a great job. So, I mean, that's just kind of what happens when...
Oh, my God!
I got another one. All right. Okay, you guys can go back to your drawing or whatever you want to, but, you know, there's a little baby over there named Elin Marie, and she is going to become Jacob's Well today, too. Actually, she already has been Jacob's Well for about 4 months, I think. But we're going to celebrate her becoming Jacob's Well in a very special way today that we call baptism. And when we're done here, after the last song, we're going to go down to the Minnehaha Creek. And all of you are welcome. Any of you are welcome to come and join us. And we'll come back up and we have a picnic afterwards. So we won't be down there real long. But we invite any of you to come down there. And we're going to be just below the falls. And we are not going to fill her up with water, like the pitcher, but we are going to pour water over her. And if you think about it, so you kids, I don't know if you know how the water gets in the creek, but there's Lake Minnetonka, west of the town, is a big watershed. So all the rain and stuff that falls in that area goes in Lake Minnetonka, which goes into Minnehaha Creek. And then the rain that falls around Edina and South Minneapolis, a lot of that pours into Minnehaha Creek. And it gradually gets here and it goes over the waterfall, ends up in the Mississippi River here, and goes the ocean and fills up the ocean. And it's I think, a great symbol that some of that water is going to pour over her, this life-giving water representing all of this love, all of these ways that we touch each other's lives that is going to bring life to her. And it keeps going. It doesn't stop. It's going to keep going. It's going to go into the Mississippi. It's going to go fill up the ocean. Because isn't that what happens? And you know what's even cooler about it? The bridge that's right there below the falls, right where we're going to do the baptism, that's where Elin's dad proposed to his mother. Yeah, a collective awe, please. Awe. But seriously, isn't that the greatest? I mean, this stream has brought so much love into Elon's family and is going to continue doing that. And it's going to be a symbol of how this works. How about we are local? Like, we take time to be here now and experience this. And it changes us, and then it begins to change the world around us and the people around us as well. We see that too. This is the college graduate time of year. I've had two in my family. How many of you, how many kids here graduated from kindergarten or preschool or something? All right, we got some. I think we got maybe some middle school grads, we got high school grads, we got college grads, we got post-college grads, we got hard knock school grads. What is all that about? Except we're acknowledging that our pitcher has been being filled up for a long time, and it's going to do what it always does. You know, sometimes we just think we're in class, we're just learning, but you are, all that is at work. It's filling up so that you can spill out into the world. So anyway, so that's why we're local. Because we know that God wants to fill people. God wants to fill people's lives. So as a church, we want to spend time. In fact, we want our center to be about stuff that actually matters to your life. We don't want to make you busy with stuff that doesn't fill you up. We don't want to make you busy with stuff that's even worse than that just, what, maybe drains you. We want to focus on what we deal with and what we ask you to do, the things that are going to fill you up so that you know this God that is at close at hand and it starts having that effect on you. So, so we do things like, we talk a lot about relationships. We talk a lot about finances, not about your giving to us, although we appreciate that, and that too is part of how what, you know, gets poured into your life spills over to make us all stronger and greater together. But we talk about finances because we know that it's one of the things in our lives that's such a gift, but yet it brings so much pain and brings so much disorientation, so much difficulty in our lives, and we can help each other with that, and that's an important thing to do. We also do things like we use music that isn't just from a hymnal from a couple hundred years ago that was meaningful to someone back then but maybe misses the target today, but we use music that comes from the radio that this is part of our life now, and even though maybe it doesn't explicitly mention God, it certainly is dealing with the stuff that actually matters to our lives and bring some profound understandings and then actually bridges what's happening this morning to what's happening the rest of the week for us. We do things like looking at movies, and every August we do a series called God Flicks, and we take current movies, and there are movies about God, but they're movies that really kind of, again, do the same sort of thing, like teach us about how we weave this all together. And we take these things, and we take things, that subjects like racism or dealing with our past or trying to understand how to build a future that matters and things like that. And we do it in ways where we can weave in this bigger, more profound, deeper, wider, more holistic way that we kind of see that's what God brings to the table. And then we muck around with it as a community to see how we can encourage and support each other in ways. And so that it kind of works for us. And we laugh together and we play together and we celebrate together. And all that seems to be a way of being local with one another and saying, if it doesn't matter, why are we doing it? We want it to change things in their lives right now. So basically, God wants to fill you up. And it doesn't happen theoretically. It happens in real, concrete ways. And it happens through real people. That's how God shows up almost every time. Real people who know you, care about you, plan with you, play with you, pray with you, argue with you, encourage you, support you, critique you. People that care about you that deeply enough to do that. When we are church this way, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't need improvement. It doesn't mean that we've got things figured out. What it really just means is that we care enough about each other to take all the good stuff and all the not so good stuff and to love it enough that we begin to find some hope and some possibility and maybe sometimes even discover when it begins to run over the top and pour into the lives of people around us and goes downstream and fills up someone else's ocean. So that's kind of neat stuff. You know, and that kind of being local to me seems like something that's worth celebrating and worth being and maybe worth even saying a prayer about. So just in closing, to seal this, if you want to do that one more time, either on your chest or on your hand, just slowly draw that circle, realizing that you're taking all the stuff in this world and you're at the center is you. And it's you that matters. It's you that God loves. Not the you you could be, not the you you used to be, the you you are. And God loves it because God loves you because God loves you. And that is where the greatest journeys will always start. So be that person and be loved by God. It's a great way of being church together. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.